This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
The original docuseries Speed explores history's greatest transportation breakthroughs and the mind-blowing machines of the future. The story of humankind's instinctive desire to explore and invent. Speed, available for streaming on the Curiosity Stream service, curiositystream.com, is hosted by engineering expert Sean Riley, who joins us on today's This Week in America. And later, Emmy Award-winning television anchor Ashley Banfield, host of A&E's hit series Live Rescue, following first responders from across the country as they put their lives on the line in emergency situations in real time. The innovative engineers who refuse to take no for an answer. Next on This Week in America.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The new original docuseries Speed explores history's greatest transportation breakthroughs and the mind-blowing machines of the future, the remarkable story of innovative engineers who refuse to take no for an answer. Airing on Curiosity Stream, the award-winning streaming and on-demand destination from Discovery Channel founder John Hendricks, Speed follows host and engineering expert Sean Riley. Sean hosted one of National Geographic Television's most successful series, World's Toughest Fixes, known for creating documentary television as a platform to teach and explain science and technology. He's an engineer, rigger designer, and a recognized expert in the field of suspended lifting. His company, Gravity Projects, designed solutions for a diverse array of clients and industries, including one-of-a-kind circus systems for Cirque Mechanics. Sean Riley, host of Speed, available for streaming on the Curiosity Stream service at curiositystream.com, is our guest on This Week in America. Sean, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I'm happy to be here.
So much to talk about. I read one description that says a thrilling adventure chronicling humanity's innate need for speed and joyride through science and history of travel and innovation. And I'm thinking in a sentence that pretty well sums up what we're going to see in this 5-episode docuseries, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It sums it up. Yeah, it's basically the story of the development of transportation technology. We start in the early days. We look at these milestones, these big paradigm shifts that happen, these leaps in speed that allow us to move faster and have rippling effects in how society changes. So we look at the technologies, and we look at how society has changed around that technology, how we've embraced it. And that helps us understand where we are, how we got here, and then we peek over the horizon and we look at the future and see what might be coming.
What's interesting, it's not just looking at the machines, but the people who build those machines. These are fascinating people that really have dedicated their lives to pushing boundaries, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And in a lot of cases, they've had to go against a lot of conventional wisdom and buck the system, if you will. And that was really important to me, too, because you can't look at these emergent technologies of the past in a vacuum. You have to really understand the context in which they come to exist. So, you know, the first, well, we think of a self-powered vehicle, it's called the Puffing Devil. It's a steam-powered pump, a water pump, taken out of a mine and sort of strapped to a wagon, and it lumbers down the road really awkwardly. I've got to drive it. It's hard to keep running. It's hard to steer. It's not an amazing-looking vehicle from our perspective. But if you're a farmer walking around the corner on a little lane in Cornwall, England, where this thing was first driven, it's mind-blowing to see this wagon coming up the street without a horse in front of it. This, like, instantly does away with thousands and thousands of years of reliance on the horse and on livestock. It does away with tradition, and it changes the world sort of in a moment. So, yes, we have to look at the people that invented these things. Trevisick was a illiterate son of a miner who couldn't read or write, but he invented this, what we think of as the first vehicle, and that changed the world.
You know, it's interesting in looking at this technology, you're able to sort of connect the dots, and we start with the steam engine you were talking about, and all of a sudden, out of all of this, piecing it together, we've got this this rail system that goes cross-country.
Yeah, yes, that has a direct line to what we think of as trains and as the rail system, which developed originally around steam, for sure. Because when that technology came out, it was fun to be able to go down the roads, but the roads were meant for horses. They were tiny, they were mud, they couldn't handle these big, heavy vehicles. The road system infrastructure wasn't there to make use of this as what we think of as a car. So instead, this technology gets diverted into trains that run on rails so that they can not plow through the mud of the road. And that turns into the intercontinental rail system. And one of the interesting things we learn is how these technologies have such huge effect on us. You know, that technology of the train came out at just the right moment in history for us to utilize it here in our new country of America to connect east and west. And that transcontinental railroad allows us to form an unprecedentedly huge country, right? This enormous geographical space that we can unify and start to make into what we think of as America today.
We're talking about the docuseries Speed, available for streaming, CuriosityStream.com. Host engineering expert Sean Riley with us on the program. We talked about the Puffing Devil. You take us to this train in Japan that actually goes up to 375 miles an hour. Talk about where we are in transportation now.
Yeah, there are some exciting technologies being developed in the train sector. Certainly, Japan is really leading that fight. They're out on the bleeding edge with their maglev train. It's pretty amazing. They've got a prototype, about 30 kilometers of track, that they are running at about 375, over 300 miles an hour on this track, levitating about 4 inches off the ground on a cushion of a magnetic field. It's an amazing piece of technology, and they're hoping to bring that into a real practice in the world within the next 10 years.
You take a look at the development of Ford's Model T, the first assembly line. Talk about that, and then where we are with autonomous cars now. Everybody says those are the cars of tomorrow. I'd like to get your input on that. But first of all, the Model T, I mean, what a great innovation this was. It really changed the world for all of us.
Yeah, the cars of tomorrow, that is a complex question because that's going a lot of different directions at once. But yeah, the Model T is groundbreaking. I mean, the first, what we think of as an automobile, Carl Benz comes up with something that is a three-wheeled contraption with an internal combustion engine and no brakes and interesting steering. I got to drive this thing, quite an experience. But that's what we think of as the first car, and that's true. But at the time, it cost over $1,000, which at the time was like over a year's wage for the average person. So it was really a rich person's toy. And it wasn't until Ford and Ford's assembly line construction that democratizes the automobile, suddenly makes it's within reach of every middle-class person. And everybody, of course, wants one. And that has this really direct lineage effect to the world that we see out in front of us. So as soon as everybody has cars, we need better roads. And that has a huge effect on how we live and where we work and how our cities are formed and how we use the space that we have.
And just when we think we've heard the latest in technology as we're looking to purchase a new car and see what's down the horizon, they come up with something else. Autonomous cars, is that practical? Will we see those in our future?
I think we will. I think we will, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I'm a car guy and something of a self-professed control freak, so it's hard for me to let go.
Difficult,
of people,
yes.
Right? I get it. And we're driving, and I'm driving in autonomous cars here. I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and there's an empty driver's seat. I'm letting this empty driver's seat, the computer, drive me around the world. And I don't make any bones in the episode or in the show about talking about how nervous that makes me. It's hard for me to let go because I grew up in a world where I'm used to being in control. But at the same time, there's lots of other places in my life where I don't have control. I'm not used to, washing my own clothes. I'm in a washing machine, and the washing machine just works, and it doesn't ruin my clothes, and I trust that. I don't ever think about it. And someday, my kids and my kids' kids will have that same relationship with autonomous cars. They won't think twice. It's entirely possible that my young sons won't drive a car. Now, they're my sons, so they're going to have to learn to drive a car. But autonomous vehicles are coming, and they will. They are so practical, and they have so many possible ways to alleviate this. So it's such a great possibility for us to alleviate the traffic congestion that we have, that it's just going to become practical to have one.
Let's talk about the projection values for a second on Speed, the docuseries on CuriosityStream.com. Sean Riley, host engineering expert, our guest on the program. This is not just showing us something. You're participating. You mentioned a couple times you've driven this. You've actually been in this. We really get to watch you take us on, at times, a pretty wild ride, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I believe I'm a hands-on kind of guy.
Yes.
And I also believe that the best way to tell the story is to be there in the moment with the actual machine to sort of take us back in time or forward in time to look at this technology and I really understand how it works. And the production values are beautiful. I mean, CuriosityStream.com hosts everything in HD. Our show is presented in 4K online. It's gorgeously shot. It's really beautiful cinematic quality with great CGI. We could use really cool computer effects to kind of move us back and forth in time to understand how a technology relates to the present.
One of the episodes has to deal with going into the sky, and here's another situation, as in all of the different components of the docuseries, engineers doing something that really didn't seem possible at the time, getting us into the sky. Let's talk innovation there. What do you see next in aviation? And then with the recent 737 crashes, we wonder maybe if technology is getting a little ahead of the ball game.
It's hard not to wonder that when you see something like
yes.
that, when we find out that software may be a component. And there's no doubt the new technologies carry risks, right? And then we need to be sure that the systems are fully vetted before we put them online. In the development of technologies in the past, there have been also great mistakes, and there's been great hubris about unsinkable ships and completely safe. And that turned out to be not so true either, as we all know now with the Titanic and other ships. So there's always give and take, a learning curve for this kind of thing. And when we're talking about public transportation, that learning curve can be painful. So, yeah, it's important that systems be fully vetted. I think there are really exciting futures in air travel. It also has to be said, despite that air travel now is much safer than it has ever been. The march is towards an amazing amount of control and safety. There's so many planes in the air at once. We talk about that a bit in the episode on planes. It's just the management systems that are going on globally to keep all the planes we have flying safe are pretty amazing. So, and then in the future, yeah, there's some exciting stuff being done with supersonic transport and with low parabola flights, or high parabola flights where we go up into the stratosphere and come back down. And I think, though, in the future, you will see us traveling faster and probably more often.
You know, and you talk about space, and this is fascinating. Many people thought, okay, we've made it to the moon, one giant leap for mankind, one small step for man, that type of thing. It's over with. We just keep expanding and talking now more and more the things we can do in space. How optimistic are you that we've just really scratched the surface, literally, of what we can do in space?
I'm very optimistic that there is a bright future in space. There are some really cool technologies that we feature in the show that NASA's working on that are methods for getting us to Mars. Mars is a reality that's going to happen in the next 20 years. We'll be going there. I think that there are some really exciting propulsion technologies that are going to open up the rest of the solar system to us. Solar sails, plasma engines, that kind of stuff, all featured in the show. We see people that are developing those technologies right here in America right now that are actually deployable and ready to go. But space is a difficult and foreboding place, and the distances are
astronomical. It's really, not to make a pun, but it's really hard to wrap your head around how big these distances are. So there are some challenges to a Star Trek type future, although we do address that. We talk about traveling through wormholes, and we talk to some theoretical physicists briefly to look at other really far out methods of folding space and that might be useful in the distant future. But no, I think in our lifetime and in our children's lifetime, we will see some exciting developments in space, and a sort of a sense, a feeling of a return to space, like the moon program was, which was such an amazing thing.
The title of the docuseries is Speed, and I'm thinking Speed pretty well sums up this 5-month increment of your life, doesn't it? What, 67,000 miles just about, and traveling around producing this. What a whirlwind for you. What was this like for you in producing this? Did you ever get to unpack?
Very rarely, no. I would try to spend 1 or 2 days in each place and just keep moving. It is a sprint, there's no doubt. You know, I really felt strongly that I wanted to get my hands on as many pieces of technology from the past and the future that I could to really tell the story in the moment. And that meant tracking down and finding all these old vehicles and new vehicles. You know, Viking ships in Norway, the original Viking ships tied together with whale baleen, or amazing piece of technology, allowed the Vikings to dominate the seas and come to North America hundreds of years before Columbus. So we have to go where the story is and try to track it down. And that meant being gone from my family for a long time and moving really quickly.
Well, we're all the better for it. Anxious to see the 4-episode docuseries, Speed, exploring history's greatest transportation breakthroughs and the mind-blowing machines of the future. Speed, available for streaming on CuriosityStream.com. The host, engineering expert Sean Riley, has been our guest on the program. Sean, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Looking forward to the docuseries.
Hey, Rick, my pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. From the producers of the groundbreaking hit series Live PD, cable's number one justice series, and the number one show on cable Friday and Saturday nights, A&E's new documentary series Live Rescue, following first responders from across the country as they put their lives on the line in emergency situations in real time. Taking us into the middle of the action is host Ashley Banfield, acclaimed Emmy Award-winning television anchor known for her expertise in reporting on law and justice. Most recently hosted Primetime Justice with Ashley Banfield on HLN. She's covered breaking news from across the country and around the globe, sit-downs with many world leaders, served as a correspondent for ABC News as well as NBC News, anchor and host for True TV. Last year, Ashley hosted an episode of Live PD, the only person besides Dan Abrams to have hosted the hit Live Police Show, and now host of A&E's new series Live Rescue. Its recent premiere, cable TV's number one nonfiction launch of 2019 among 25 to 54-year-olds, and A&E's best series premiere in over 2 years. Live Rescue Mondays night Eastern Pacific on A&E, host Ashley Banfield, our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to the program.
Rick, thank you so much for having me. What a privilege.
This is such an exciting time for television. Literally for 2 hours on Monday evenings, we can't walk away from our screens, and then we spend the rest of the week talking about us. You really put us right in the middle of the action, don't you? There's nothing else like this on TV.
There's nothing else like it on TV, and I think that the success of Live PD dictated that it was time that we branched out the franchise and shine the light on the first responders, the brave men and women who do things that you and I probably would never imagine, you know, running into burning buildings, cutting into precariously perched cars to rescue people who've been in automobile accidents, and, you know, putting themselves in circumstances that are inherently dangerous every single shift. And the viewers get to be right there. They get an up-close, unvarnished, raw look at this brave work every single Monday night.
And one thing that's becoming obvious, there's no such thing as a routine call for these people, is there?
There is nothing routine about it. It's like Live PD. When they roll up on a situation, sometimes the most bizarre things happen. Sometimes they are dangerous, sometimes they are tragic, and sometimes they are funny. And so, not unlike Live PD, Live Rescue is discovering the same kind of metric. Every single response is different. And the way that these first responders shift and navigate and how nimble they are at assessing a situation and then getting into it with seconds to spare, it's just eye-popping what I've been able to see and the bravery that they have shown us. It is honestly, I stand among giants when I'm with them.
Let's talk about the logistics. What jurisdictions do you follow? And you've got film crews embedded. Talk about that, because we really see what's unfolding literally from every angle.
Sure. We are usually with at least seven different departments or agencies. Tonight we'll have Sacramento and St. Louis and Bayonne and Tulsa and a number of other ones. But those will also shift and change as well. And some of the people who are featured, as you know, our spotlights are on the heroes themselves, the first responders themselves, they will make repeated appearances and you will come to know them. I'm, you know, full disclosure, a super fan of Live PD. I watch it every Friday and Saturday night. I watch all 3 hours and then I watch it on repeat like I'm crazy. But I've come to know a lot of those officers and really come to like them because they show their personalities as they do their work. They're brave, they're tough, but they're also very human. And I've really come to like, you know, who they are and what they show. And I think the same thing will be developed as we continue to do this live broadcast on Mondays.
As we watch, things are happening very quickly. Sometimes gets a little confusing. You've got the analyst there that sort of slow things down and point out what's actually happening. Talk about the analyst, because these are no strangers to A&E.
Yeah, I was going to say that these circumstances are so different that, you know, it's really hard to figure out what's happening, especially if you're not a first responder. And so to that end, Titus Tiro and Dan Flynn are two paramedics from New Orleans who people who watch the A&E series Night Watch
yes.
know very well, because they were featured heavily on Night Watch. But they are my partners, not unlike Tom and Styx, our Dan Abrams partners on Live PD. So I've got Titus and Dan, who also helped to navigate through some of the complexities and chaos as it's unfolding live. And by the way, Dan Flynn happens to just also be, on top of being a paramedic, he's also a former firefighter and a registered nurse. So he wears three different hats, as well as TV host. So he's very, very knowledgeable. And the two of them together fill in all blanks and all questions.
With us on This Week in America, Ashley Banfield, the host of Live Rescue, A&E's new live hit documentary series, Monday nights, 9 Eastern Pacific, on A&E. You mentioned before the word nimble, and I think that really describes you and the production team. Talk about this, because as I'm thinking about it, this is like a two-hour window of one split decision after another. You really aren't quite sure where you're going next, are you? It sort of unfolds in front of our eyes and in front of your eyes as well.
Yeah, I think what's terrific about this production is that, you know, we employ some very, very skilled people who have, you know, all told hundreds of thousands of man hours in top tier network television production and live network television production. And so while a news crew can be out on location and can cover, you know, a response live, or they can cover an emergency or a situation live, we have the agility to be in 30 different places all at one time. So our standards and practices are identical to all network news gathering outlets and all local news gathering outlets, in that we have a sensitivity to our viewers. But we just have this blanketing effect, which allows us to really, like you said, be nimble and get to places that, you know, a news outlet just can't do that. They just don't have this many resources all up firing at the same time. So that agility will allow for constant action during that two-hour period.
And it's interesting when you think about it, we're watching, there's something new unfolding just about literally every second, yet you've got ongoing stories that we're interested in seeing the outcome, what is going to happen next on those. It really takes a lot of foresight and juggling to bring all of these stories to us that are unfolding all at the same time.
And that's where I come in, because oftentimes we'll be in a particular situation and there will be a lot of action and a lot of sort of, activity to follow.
Yes.
And then it will die down, and we will have the opportunity, just like Live PD does, to move to another jurisdiction where action is firing up and they're about to head to a call. But we can always return to continue telling the story on scene number one that's still developing and still happening. So it does take a certain amount of live broadcasting skills to be able to just be on your feet for the 2 hours straight without a script and be able to navigate these different circumstances and give context and give any kind of, you know, catch up if we've come back to a situation that we've already been in, but we've lapsed by, say, a couple of minutes by traveling somewhere else. So it's a good skill set to have, having been in live news for 30 years.
Yes.
But still, it's a test of my mettle.
Well, you do such an excellent job sort of preparing for the unexpected, and that's what happens live right in front of our eyes on Live Rescue, A&E's new hit live documentary series, Mondays 9 Eastern Pacific on A&E, hosted by Ashley Banfield. Ashley, congratulations on the success of the program. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, thank you. The privilege was mine.
Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.